Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Brothers and sisters and church, I thank you for joining with us tonight. For those of you who've been with us for the last couple of nights, we're doing a series on Christianity versus the law. And the first and most prominent part of that, and we've started to cover it a little bit, is tithing. I want to back up on to you that haven't been with us for the past couple of nights. We've talked about the fact that the Word of God says if you are going to stay under the law of the Old Testament, if you do one thing of the law of the Old Testament, you have to do it all. Or you don't do any of it. You come in to the New Testament of grace, a word that I'm getting literally tired of trying to explain to people, but you come into grace and the rest of the Lord, and you're not under the law anymore. I know your pastor's been telling you for years that you got to tithe 10% of all your earnings and everything you get in the inheritance and sign your property over and everything else. Tell him he doesn't have enough faith to walk with God. He has to start all over again. And then do a little study on tithing. Or join with us each night and we'll do it for you. For those of you who have your Bibles, and I hope you're learning by this time, I've said it enough times, if you don't have them, those of you who are here, I'd like to talk to you after the service because I'd like to know why you would go to a church without a Bible. Don't believe me and don't believe anybody else. I don't care who it is. Don't believe any man. Don't believe any woman. Believe the Word of God. And even at that, read it and make sure it's not taken out of context or twisted or bent around. Every false doctrine that man spouts is twisted, perverted scripture. Look at it, make sure it's there, make sure it's a consistent theme throughout the Word of God. Right now, as we study the law versus Christianity, we're talking about tithing because it's the number one hook that the devil uses. The Word of God says we are not unaware of the schemes or the snares of the enemy. But church, worldwide, you are unaware of this. Do not get hooked into this tithing thing. We are to live by faith. If your pastor can't live by faith, find one who can. If you would, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Now, any of these scriptures that maybe we go too fast, you don't get them, not a problem. The announcer gives our website every day. Can't remember if he does it before or after the program, but whatever, it's there. Copy it down, send us an email. We will send you the written teaching where you'll have all of the scriptures written down and you can go study them. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, starting from verse 1. I want to read you the Word of God. The Word said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be ye not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Why do you want to go back to that? I don't understand it. "For behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." You know how serious that is? The death of Christ shall profit you nothing? You'll be there with that millions of people saying, "Lord, look at all these great things we did in your name." And he'll be saying, "Away from me, I never knew you." He'll be of no value to you because you went back to that law. After he died on a cross to set you free from it, verse 3, "For I testify again unto every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. From now on, you got to do all the ceremonial washing, all the ceremonial eating. You have to fulfill the whole law. Most of you don't even know the whole law, much less fulfill it. Go back to Saturday worship, all the other things. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith that works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The truth. The truth is that this persuasion, verse 8, cometh not of him who called you. You understand that? God is not telling you to pay tithes. Your pastor may be telling you to pay tithes. God isn't. God says, I don't want 10% of your money. I want all your money. That's what he said. I want 100% of you. He said, I want you to lay your body upon the altar as a reasonable living sacrifice. And that's just your reasonable sacrifice. It's nothing exceptional. That's just your reasonable sacrifice. Verse 9, a little leaven at the whole loaf. The last one, verse 10, I have confidence in you that through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So often the Apostle Paul says to obey this gospel, to obey the gospel that I preached to you while I was there. He says this gospel. All of that to mean there's another one. Don't obey that one. Obey this one. He's talking about the difference of the Old Testament law, which was nailed to a cross, and the grace of the New Testament. For Jesus nailed the Old Testament with all of its curses, were nailed to the cross with Christ. They're done, they're gone, they're over with. Don't go trying to dig them back up again. You don't need to do that. Let's go to James, if you would. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, the Word of God says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. You are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, one little point, he is guilty of them all. He is guilty of murder. He's guilty of adultery. He's guilty of stealing. Everything. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, and yet if thou kill, that has made you a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do ye as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. You want to be judged by the law of liberty? Of mercy, of grace? Or under the Old Testament law, which will send you to hell for eternity because you can't fulfill it? Because the sacrifice of Christ has become of no avail to you? Because you have severed yourself from Christ and pushed yourself away? Get off of the tithing. God wants it all. Believe me, you can't handle it any other way. I'd like you to go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. And let's see what the New Testament really does say. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the old law has passed away. We now live under the law of mercy, grace. Matthew 22 and 37, the Word of God says this. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Everybody get that? Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. For God has written his commandments not in stone, but in flesh upon your heart. You have passed from the Old Testament into the New. You are living under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified with the old law and took it to the cross with him. The old law no longer has any power. The scripture said it was used to lead us to Christ. The Old Testament has passed away. We now have the New Testament, the law of grace. If you would, I would like you to turn to back to Galatians and to chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 is the command of the Lord. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill, underline that one, fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. You see a brother or a sister who's in need, and it is within your power to help them, you can do it. Do it! For God will return what you have a need of. You know, I say this in no pride whatsoever. I give God all the praise and all the glory. But in the last 30 years, I have given away absolutely free, more cars and trucks and buses than most of you will ever own. Because God has told me, give it to this one or give it to that one or whatever the case is. And we have given it away. We've been obedient unto God. And I've never had a need. Because when a time came up, when I had a need, when I needed a car, it was there. God provided it. And if you live in obedience unto God, irregardless of what you have a need of, God will fulfill that need. He will meet that need. God is the giver. You are the receiver. And be not afraid to act as the receiver. Be not afraid when you're in church and they pass that little tithing bucket around to you, give it to the next guy. Let him sever himself from Christ. But don't, church, don't do it yourself. The hour is so late. Christ is literally at hand. We're done with the tithing, the circumcision, the ceremonial washing, the Saturday worship, all the rest of it. We're done with that. Now we're living underneath a new law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He lived under the law because he lived in the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled it. And then he took it to the cross with him. Accepting Christ is accepting his righteousness. Remember we talked about rights the other night, that you had a right? That God clearly spelled out the rights that he had given you in his word. Those rights are there, and you can go before God boldly, and God will meet that need. He will give you those rights. You've got to believe it. You've got to have faith. For the word says when Jesus comes, well, he hath faith. I pray that everyone that has an ear to hear would hear what this teaching is about this week. It is so very, very important. And God has laid it so heavily upon my heart. For so many of you have been erroneously taught to live under the law and try and fulfill the law. You've never been set free from the bondage which you were under. All you did is jump from one set of laws to a new set of laws. We need to accept what God has to say to us. We need to accept the righteousness or the right of God, of Jesus, realizing, fully understanding that the reason behind it is that you and I and everybody else, all of us, we are not good enough. We are not an acceptable sacrifice and never would be. If we lived for 2 billion years, we'd never get good enough to redeem anybody from the law of their sins. Christ already did it. He and he only could do it. And he's already taken care of it. And God wants you to stop trying to obey the Old Testament law. God wants you to enter in to the rest of Jesus Christ. You've read it. The Word of God says that Christ will write his law on our hearts. We'll know it. Our salvation is both immediate and it is progressive. I'm going to say it again. Your salvation, it's both immediate and it's progressive. It progresses over a period of time. When you repent of your sins, when you confess that you're a sinner, when you ask Jesus into your heart, you become a born-again Christian instantly. And thereafter, the Word of God says that you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling each and every day. So it's instantly and it's progressively. We do not violate the inward law that God has written upon our hearts. We're not going to go out and stone anybody to death. We're not going to go back into ceremonial washing. So why would we go back into the law? The Bible says that the law was until John the Baptist. I looked in the phone book and he's not around anymore. He's gone. The law was until John the Baptist. If you read Colossians 2, chapter 2, in verse 14, you will see what I'm talking about. And hopefully after you have read it, all you will be able to say is, thank God I'm free. I'm free, I'm free indeed. Jesus has set me free. I am free to walk with God. I am free to obey God. I am free to live in holiness and repentance before my God and my Savior. I am free of all of that bondage. So many people today remind me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They had at one time been set free. Christ set them free, took them away from all of the bondage, and now they have joined some church or organization and allowed themselves to get all wrapped up in all sorts of rules and regulations, and they're in all that bondage all over again. You started out under mercy. You didn't get saved by the law. Remember back when you got saved? Remember that day? Most of you, as I, you weren't even looking for God. He found you. Wasn't like you were out on a long search for Him. He found you, in most cases. You were saved. By mercy, by grace, and you accepted that by faith. If you were yet then a sinner, and God loved you and saved you, how much more does He love you today? Does He really say to you, I'm in such bad shape up here in heaven, I need your 10% every week, because I can't take care of your pastor and his family. I can't put that big blacktop parking lot in. Maybe you don't need the parking lot. Maybe your pastor needs faith. Maybe the elders of your church need a lesson in the law and in Christianity more than you need that stupid parking lot, or the choir robes, or the debt bundle, or whatever. Yeah, there's always something going on. Now, if God speaks to you, that's different. God speaks to you and says, pay off the whole thing, pay it off. Obey God. Tell you another thing people do is they get saved and then they decide, not God, they decide where they're going to worship. And normally they wind up in some place where the minister is ministering about a mile over the head. They got no idea what's even going on. But there was a specific place in the body of Christ, where Jesus wanted that person to go. And when we do crusades and we do salvation in the crusades and the people come up for prayer, I tell them, I say, God is not telling you to come to this church. What I'm asking you to do is go home and pray and seek the Lord. He's faithful. Seek Him privately. Pray. Cry out unto God. Lord, where do you want me to go to church? Where do you want me to be taught and to be raised up in your word? God will lead you. It may be in a strange way. God moves in strange ways. He does a lot of strange things. But God will tell you where He wants you to go. Don't go to church because it's the one that's the closest. Or, I love this one, because it's the one your mom and dad belong to. So naturally, that's where you would go. Go to the one that God sends you to. It may be 100 miles away. It may be that you have to get up really early every Sunday or Wednesday or whatever it is and drive that distance with your family, but do it. Obey God. Go where He wants you to go. And you'll be raised up and you'll be taught the truth and you'll be blessed. And you'll know the difference between the lie and the truth. You'll be blessed of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring forth truth. Jesus said He will bring forth all that is of mine, and He will bring it to you. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to be in the right place to receive it. Don't do what's comfortable to you or your flesh. Do what is commanded, what is given by the Holy Spirit. I don't care whether you like the pastor of that church or not. I don't care whether you like the people in it or not. In fact, normally the very place God will send you is the place you don't want to go. Before I was saved, one of the prejudices I had, and I suppose I had as many prejudices as anybody has, but one of them that I had was against drunks. I could handle just about anything other than a drunk. Especially some drunk that was throwing up his guts or something like that. I just couldn't handle it. When I first got saved, there was a Union Gospel Mission about 15 miles away from where I live. And thank God when I got saved, at least an intelligent, mature Christian was there to pray with me and tell me what to do. And as I prayed, God said, that's a church I want you to go to. Let me tell you what this church was like. Every night, that church every night. Now every night as they had church, everybody, every drunk that was in town, we lived in this big city, but every drunk that was in town, if they wanted to sleep in the shelter that night, and if they wanted to eat supper that night, they had to go to the service. They didn't have any choice. They had to go to the service. And it held about 500 or 600 in that room, and they got all these guys in there, and then they locked the door. Whether they wanted to or not, they had to stay there for an hour and a half or 2 hours and listen to that preacher. Guess where God sent me when I first got saved? Yeah, Lefty has been in a room with 600 drunks, puking their guts up, urinating in their pants, don't even know what state they're in. It was a real time. That was a ball. But I learned something about drunks. And I learned about compassion. And I learned about judgment. I could go on for a month, and I don't think I could cover all the things that God ministered to me, that God taught me during my time in that church. And it was God who told me where to go after that. When that time was over with, when that time was up, and when it was time to move on to the next place, God spoke to me very clearly. And he said, my son, this is where I want you to go now. You've been here long enough. This is where I want you to go. God will do that for you. God will tell you exactly where to worship at, and he will tell you where you can grow. Many of you are not growing in the Holy Spirit in Christ because you're not in the right place. And I just pray tonight that each one of you that has an ear would open it unto the Holy Spirit of God, that you would be able to hear the Lord, and that you would be able to attend services where God wants you to attend services. And just remember, when they pass the offering plate, keep right on passing it. Listen to God. Let God dictate where your money is going, because it belongs to God. You're just a steward of it. It belongs to God. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs unto him. Be obedient unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask for a blessing upon each one of you. Be with us tomorrow, please. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.